Everyone, welcome to this meeting of the Finance Committee of the Kensington Fire Protection District. I will call the meeting to order. We'll do a roll call. Director Watt?
Here.
I am Director Artis, and we'll call the meeting to order. The chief is not here today.
Correct, that's correct. He had another commitment. It's 2:02 p.m. just for starting time.
Thank you.
So we can go through public comment.
I can't remember the actual text that we're supposed to say, but if there are public comments or items not on the agenda, happy to take it now. Do we actually have?
We have two members attending. We have Johnny and we have Alan Siegel. Alan Siegel actually sent a public comment in that goes along with the budget item. So I think unless he wants to say something here, he could read it at that point in time or say something during the budget item, the 5A.
Okay.
And then there's no one in the room. So we can proceed to three adoption of consent items.
Okay, let's see. I forget exactly how we're supposed to acknowledge this, but adoption of consent. There's a text that goes along with this, but unless Jim, you would like to pull any of the consent items from the calendar?
No.
Then I will move that we adopt the consent items, the general manager's timesheet, and approval of the minutes for
August 26th.
August 26th, sorry, I've got it here. I'm looking at the wrong one. For August 22nd, 2024 through January 31, 2025.
Oh, that's the timesheet. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
And the finance committee's minutes of August 27th.
And Jim seconded, so you're both in favor.
We're both in favor.
All right. So we got that one done. Old business, there is none. So new business, I can start with the review of the budget adjustments if you agree, and then we can go on to questions after that. All right, so that was starts on packet page 37. So for the mid-year budget review, I don't think, Rick, you've been here through the last one, so this is new.
Yeah.
But we take a look at the budget where we are through half the year, December, and then look at what accounts would potentially need adjustment, any changes that we know that are going to happen. And so I have recommendations, and so as we discuss through the committee, there might be other recommendations. So I'll go ahead and review. I put a summary table of what the adjustments recommended are, and then I'll kind of talk about a few other items as well. So for the table that's on that first page, the revenue for the CERT disbursement, that's from the trust. So it'll equal the health retiree reimbursements, health payments. And so it's lower because the healthcare costs are actually lower. So they match each other. So you'll see a corresponding decrease in the healthcare costs. And so that decrease in revenue is not a bad thing. It just has to match the payments going out. So it's a wash as far as a net impact. So then as far as expenses, the medical dental insurance, that's actually for the staff medical dental component through the GM contract. So the calculation we updated as we had changed the actual starting date of the GM because it ended up being August 22nd. So that's the correct calculation. Payroll taxes and payroll processing are based on projected wages and charges. So we've made that update. And so they decreased just a little bit. So the PERS Medical, the Delta Dental, and the Vision Care are the ones that would change because the rates of those particular insurances are now known. So that's the change, those three that will correspond to the CERF disbursement. So those equal one another. For our accounting fees to our accounting firm, Krish, based on the activity, I project that it's going to be a little bit lower, $4,900. The actuarial valuation, so this Every other year we do a full actuarial report. Every other year we're only required to do an update. So this year we had budgeted for the update, but we actually have to do the full report. Whereas next year we had budgeted to do the full report, but it'll be the update. So they're flip-flopped, and I'll show you that in the forecast. Bank fees, this is for a stop payment fee. We've only had one. I don't anticipate any more. For IT services and equipment, we've had some one-time costs to get ourselves, our own selves set up, and then related to having the audiovisual assistance at our meetings. So we've increased that just a little bit. The LAFCO annual fee was estimated at the budget preparation time, but now we know what the actual cost is, so it's increased just a little bit. Legal fees for miscellaneous items and reorganization assistance that we think we'll need. We've increased it $17,000 to cover legal fees. We had decreased it a lot, and I think with reorganization and some other questions we've had, we'll just need a little bit more. The operational consultant, that's for the additional assistance that's needed with Tim helping on wrapping up some public safety building items, and then also some decommission of the temporary station that we talked about a couple of board meetings ago. Recruitment, we didn't actually anticipate any of this fiscal year, but we had a small fee to publicize our executive assistant board clerk position, and yay, we have one. Yes.
Explain to me again, operational consultant.
Yes. So operational consultant, that's additional assistance needed from Tim. Tim's the one that I contract with.
Right. Right.
So we have some help that we're getting for some things that we're doing at the public safety building with setup. And then there's some been some warranty items coming through that between he and I, we have to be there when someone comes to help us out. A vendor comes to check things out. And then also with the decommission of the temporary station, we have to put it back to its original, right, you know, striping and things. So he's gonna help me get some costs on that. So that's for that one. Temporary services, we had budgeted for some temporary services, sorry, and we don't. Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
What?
Back to the
decommission. Okay. Uh-huh.
But there are going to be some costs to remove the temporary facility.
Yes.
And where does that cost appear? I realize it's probably not going to appear here, but where does it appear?
Yeah, so we don't have the estimate for that yet. Tim's working on helping me with what it's going to take for that. So we'll be reporting on that soon because we really want to get that done. We've actually been reaching out to other agencies to see if they could potentially use the garage. And we found another fire station that's going to be doing a remodeling of their app base. So they wanted to know the dimensions. So if they could come take it, that would be great. I'm not sure if that's possible.
If they can't, there's a cost.
If they can't, then we'll probably have to demolish it. So we are looking for, Tim's going to help me look for a construction company to give us a cost on that. Good. So we'll let you know. And hopefully it's within my remaining public safety budget because there's still a little bit of money there. Hopefully it's not terribly expensive. So we'll know on that soon. Yeah. Let's see. Okay. Temporary services. So we decreased that a little bit since we aren't going to need it. The Nixle fee, we had a budgeted amount, but now we know the actual cost. So decreased it a little bit. Community shredder, we have an estimate for our annual shredding event. I think we have two shredding events, but we've updated the estimate based on our known costs now. Office expenses and supplies, we needed some supplies and expenses, and we paid more for printing recently. So we have some one-time costs that we're increasing just by $2,700 and $1,300. And then with telephones, we have now the new service at the public safety building. So it's a higher cost than the internet phone we were using while we were in the temp station. So we increased that $5,000. The internet, we have a better price on internet. So we decreased that estimate by $600. Janitorial services, we're going to need janitorial services downstairs in the building now that we're back in. So I increased that $600. Miscellaneous maintenance, we were decreasing that $2,400 because I think we have a better handle on what we need. Gas and electric, So with the move to the public safety building, we were able to take a look at all of the utilities, gas, electric, water, sewer, and refuse. The gas and electric increases $20,000 because obviously the costs to be in the public safety building are a lot more than the temporary station costs. And then the water sewer is a decrease based on our estimate, and the refuse collection is also a decrease. We decreased the contingency to use it for some of the other costs that I had talked about, since I don't see that we'll need the contingency for the remainder of the year. That way it offsets some of the cost increases. So total expenses would increase $47,000 with a net change in fund balance because of that reduction in revenue I talked about of $55,000. So then next, and I have some tables that'll go over detail on that.
Sure, I'm going to back you up.
Okay.
Let's go back up to the gas and electric $20,000
yes.
increase.
Yes.
The time that I came in here to look at the public safety building, uh-huh. This was in the evening, and I was taken around by Tim,
uh-huh.
and I went into the operations bay where they have the trucks.
Okay.
And they now have put down these roll-up doors, and these roll-up doors have ventilation along the mid part of it.
Uh-huh.
And I have seen at least 6 other fire stations. I have never seen a fire station with ventilation in their doorways.
Uh-huh.
And so when I went in there and looked around, the heating system was on full blast, and yeah. the wind was blowing in like crazy through these ventilations.
Okay.
I hope that's not going to be the situation yeah. going forward.
No, we'll check it out. I'm not aware that that's how it's working, and I think
that
they were still.
That is how it's working, and I could understand if there's a reason to have ventilation because you have these trucks coming in there.
Uh-huh.
But if every other station that I've seen, and station we used to have, never had ventilation, then why is the ventilation needed? And if it's not needed, and that wind is blowing in, it's making, in the wintertime, it's making that whole place
okay.
very, very cold and increasing the cost of energy for heating it.
Yeah.
So you can check that out.
So, we'll definitely check that out.
So that's my question on that one. But then explain to me how we come down and we say that therefore it looks like there is $47,000 of additional cost.
Yes.
I understand that.
Uh-huh.
What is the number of negative 55,000?
So that's the overall change in fund balance. So you're decreasing revenue and then you're increasing expenses. So you're decreasing, so.
Why were we here?
It's the sum of the revenue line at the top of that table and the expense line at the bottom of the table.
So the eight plus the 47
equals that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. To face actually.
Okay. And so then also the El Cerrito Services contract fee. So the fire services contract fee, we had that, we reviewed it in detail going over the preliminary budget. We confirmed it and reviewed it again during the final budget adoption in September. And then also through the work of the fiscal analysis, we did a deep dive. Dimitri and Ridgeline did a deep dive into the contract fee then. Chief Sailors couldn't be at this meeting. We try normally to have a budget, mid-year budget review on the contract services fee, but it's not required as part of the contract. He couldn't be here. We had a terrible time trying to get everybody's schedules to match the availability of the rooms, but I checked in with him on how the budget is projected to be with the City of El Cerrito budget and then the corresponding fee. He doesn't anticipate a change in the fee at this point in time. He confirmed that their budget is operating in line with so half the year, 50%, he said that they're operating at about 48.6%. In the little packet that I gave you of information, there were one page on the back. I found the El Cerrito budget. They did a mid-year budget review. And so fire is showing at being 52% of budget. So they are performing right in the 0.5% range. So we don't anticipate any change in the fee at this time. So he said that they're not expecting any change. And by the contract, they have to notify the district if there is going to be a change in the fee.
By the what?
By the contract, they have to notify the district if there's going to be a change in the fee. So they would need to notify us.
Well, I don't know of anything to that effect.
Yeah, there's one page. Let's see. I think it's in the book.
Well, but explain to me what you mean by they have to notify us.
So they
write, go ahead.
Yeah, so per the contract, it says the city shall inform district of any operating cost areas which significantly exceed by 5,000 or more or less than the estimated annual fee for the year at issue, such as labor cost adjustments, additional communications costs, unforeseen capital and equipment costs. And the annual fee amount shall be adjusted accordingly. So they would need to let us know if that's going to happen. So in checking with him, he doesn't anticipate it. In looking to confirm the city's mid-year budget, it doesn't look like that's going to be an occurrence either.
Okay. I have a big problem with this. I really do. I've been on the board for 2 years, but I've been involved for a lot longer than that. And I have gone back and looked at previous mid-year budgets. I have never seen a situation where the chief did not submit a mid-year budget, but this time he did not submit a mid-year budget. Now, you tell me that the numbers show that there is very insignificant difference, but I want to see how those numbers play out, because here's my concern. Okay. When we sat down and talked about this budget 6 months ago, it was a very confusing session. You may recall that we had very poor connections and it was hard for people to understand one another. And we tried to talk our way through things. And we finished our meeting and we still had some concerns, but gee, it was just a real difficult situation to try to talk. He was not in here. He was talking to us from outside of Kensington. And then from that point forward, you and Chief Sailors worked out the final budget. And certain changes were made, some of which I agreed with, some of which I didn't probably agree with, but I would have had to have seen further information. So I just want to point out that a budget was approved back in June that really hadn't gone through the normal approach to being resolved by the Finance Committee. It wasn't a big deal. I voted for it. It was fine because I knew there was going to be a mid-year budget review and we would catch up with things. Because one of the things that really concerned me about that budget, and that is still the situation today, is that that budget talked about the biggest line item, which is salaries, all right? And it said that our salaries for this year were actually going to be about a number of $15,000, $20,000 less than last year. And I'm thinking to myself, this just simply doesn't make any sense. Why doesn't it make any sense? Because the thing that Sailors didn't comment on and nobody talked about is the fact that in the El Cerrito contract, there is a requirement that starting on July 1st of last year, the salaries for all firefighters will increase by what? You know?
I can't remember the exact percent. I'm going to say 5%. But
4.5%. 4.5%. So there's an automatic 4.5% increase. 4.5% is a pretty big number when you're talking about the total cost of firefighting services for El Cerrito and Kensington of $6 million, you're talking about something close to 5%. That's another close to $300,000 mm-hmm. of extra costs, of which a third get passed on to Kensington, okay? So there's something wrong here. I want to see those numbers. And I just want to...
Yeah.
You gotta let me finish.
Yes, absolutely.
I just want to see those numbers. I think that's the responsibility of the Finance Committee. So that's one thing. So we have the 4.5% salary increase that just seems to not necessarily, according to this one sentence report from Chief Sailors, no changes. I want to see what those numbers really came in at. I also remember something to the fact that right around the time that we had our budget review in June for the coming year, that Sailors made some comment about adding an additional 3 firefighters. So it seemed, I could be wrong on that, but it seemed to me that starting in the fiscal year we're now in, we were actually increasing count. Now, we maybe have been losing some firefighters that were retiring with even higher salaries, but everything oftentimes tends to adjust out. So there could have been that factored into it. Then there's the situation of what has been going on here in California in connection with fires around the state. And whenever we have, and this has been an exceptional year, and we have heard from Chief Sailors that that El Cerrito has been sending firefighters down. We're sending them down to Los Angeles. So there has undoubtedly been probably a larger amount of services being offered outside of Kensington by El Cerrito than in years past. How does that affect our budget? It affects our budget now.
So with something like that, when they're called for mutual aid, there are mutual aid agreements, and so they get reimbursed through that. So the city has special coding where they have to actually code the firefighters' time for going to these other locations so that they can seek reimbursement under those emergency grants or authorizations. And so also, if they have corresponding internal impacts, they would also code that time to that reimbursement. It's like a labor coding account, so that they would then get reimbursed for that additional overtime they might incur as a result of that. So it's covered under that, so it wouldn't impact our budget.
I disagree.
Okay. Whoa, Jim, it's not opinion.
Pardon?
It's just numbers. You can disagree, but it may be factually correct. And it's not that I'm invalidating numbers, but the chief has said Kensington doesn't get charged for that. Right now, I understand, you know, trust but verify is where you're coming from. But in fact, it's not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of the way they charge. They don't, El Cerrito isn't going to pay overtime without getting reimbursed for it. Right?
Okay.
But we don't actually pay out on those payments in the first place. That was the big thing that we got out of the contract fee last time, right?
Look, I kind of jumped in, and maybe you jumped in, and I said something. I shouldn't have said it quite the way I did.
Okay.
Because everything that you say, I agree with. And everything that Mary said, I agree with. I wasn't necessarily, but the way I said I disagree. But I just want to point out. So I am not disagreeing with how you look at it, because it is true that when they are sent out and they do this work, they get reimbursed in full by CalPERS for those services rendered. And in addition to the amount of money that was paid, sorry about that. I never know how to turn this thing off. It'll die. In addition to that money that was paid, I also know that they receive a 20% overhead cost. Okay, all of this is fine. I'm not complaining about any of this. What I want to make, though, as my point, is that in the past, what this has meant is that because firefighters are being sent off for work outside of Kensington and Cerrito and getting reimbursed by CalPERS for those costs, It nevertheless means that El Cerrito, typically to replace the firefighters that are gone, they have to pay remaining firefighters overtime to put in more time. And that's where I'm going with this. So what we typically find is that when there is a fair amount of work outside of the El Cerrito Kensington area, for which they're getting reimbursements, our costs are, the overtime costs are nonetheless going up over and above the amount that had been allocated for them. And you may or may not recall that at the time that we met back in June and talked about overtime, you said, gee, this overtime isn't very much. It was only at that point, like about $750,000. And when it came back for approval, it had been changed by you talking with the chief, and it went up to 950 or something like that. I'm just concerned, and the only way that we will know that is to see what the overtime has been for this first 6 months. So that's where I'm concerned. I think that this is the first time I have never seen a full accounting by each of the various components of the El Cerrito budget. And I would like to see where these numbers came in, particularly those numbers, because those were the big ticket items.
And actually, in looking back, in 2003, we did not have a mid-year contract budget review. And in 2019, we did not have a mid-year budget contract review. So there have been years when we haven't. But as I said, in checking their overall budget, if their overall budget at half of the year is already within 52% of the budget, to me, that's a comfort level that they are operating in line with their budget, and that they haven't experienced additional overtime that would be of concern because they haven't notified us.
But we have seen, when you go back and look at these previous budgets, because yes, it is true that when we had a mid-year budget review, the then police chiefs would present their information and usually say, it's within 52%, so let's not worry about it. And guess what? We didn't worry about it. Meaning that we don't expect to see any adjustments. But in those years, in came an adjustment at the end of the year of $150,000, $200,000, okay? So yes, it was very close to being at that 50%, but it still came in excess. And I am concerned, I have to tell you, I am concerned that any budget that is, that the budget that was put forward that said that our costs for fire services for personnel is actually going to decrease this year over last year is wrong.
Well,
in a situation.
We have an explanation for that. I mean, excuse me, but we interrogated him forcefully on this, and his explanation was extremely clear.
So that was in August, when we met in August.
Okay, so his explanation was there are a bunch of people who are more senior who are not going to be on payroll for various reasons, and a bunch of people more junior who are. And so salaries and commensurate overtime associated. Now that, do we have validation of this in this moment? No, we do not. But that was the explanation then. And I don't have a reason to doubt it. I also would prefer to have a BVA kind of roll up in the moment, because that's how I operate. But and I would hope, if since we do, wouldn't be too much to ask for that for review. But if they're not required for it, then you know we can protest a little bit. But my hunch is that the basic statement that we have is right overall, and we should try and avail ourselves of the opportunity to get more information. I personally would like.
Yeah, and since he wasn't going to be here, he couldn't, he wouldn't be able to prepare the information in advance in time for the meeting. But also, we will be reviewing the budget in May to prepare for the next year's budget. So we'll be meeting again in May, and he will be at that meeting.
Look, I fully understand this is only a guesstimate as to where we're going to end up the year.
Sure.
Right now we're saying everything looks like it's pretty much running consistent with what was projected. But in the past, as I have said, with few exceptions, there have typically been adjustments, and they're usually adding in additional costs or LCBO fire services. And again, I don't want to keep repeating it, but I just would like to have seen that. And I think we are entitled to see that, particularly given the fact that we're, if we were had been looking at a budget that said, oh yeah, I think that actually our costs for fire services between last year and this year are going to go up by $100,000, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But they didn't. They said our cost of fire services are going to go down by about $20,000. Oh, that's very strange. How can that be when they have salary increases of 4.5%?
So, right.
It's not, those are just numbers. The explanation for that was the actual salaries that are being paid are being paid to a pool of people who is more junior, because they've hired a bunch of younger firefighters relative to a pool that was more senior. I have no,
we think that's it.
Right. So that was the explanation that was given us, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not making it up. That's what the chief said.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So all I'm saying is, if that's what the chief said, then we can ask for more detail on it. And I'm with you.
Okay.
We can ask for it, but it's not, there's, it's possible that there's nothing mysterious and the numbers just are, but it would be helpful if we could verify.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking for.
Okay, fine. But don't, you couched it in terms a little bit that were, it makes no sense. All I'm saying is the chief gave us an explanation that on its face makes sense to me. I'm willing to take it for the moment, but I'd like to see the numbers on the Excel spreadsheet.
And also, as part of the fiscal analysis, because Dimitri did a very, very detailed investigation of their salaries, benefit, the whole budget, but he actually tracked that information too. As the newer employees, they come in at lower salaries, you've got retiring employees at higher salaries, so your salary costs, even though you have the same number of people or filled positions, like the three positions that were filled that had been vacant for some time, that's why you see those costs lower. And so Dimitri did a very thorough investigation of all of those and had a lot of due diligence performed to make sure that that explanation made sense and that he had the data behind it.
I understand that there could be very reasonable justifications for this. I get it. I guess all I'm saying is I just don't like a one-line explanation from the chief.
Since the chief is in the real world, the chief is rolling all this stuff up anyway at mid-year because that's what departments do.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe we could just ask the chief, it's in the moment, can we get a rollout of the contract costs in a spreadsheet? And then we can look at it. And it may be by the time we get it, we're almost in May anyway, and that's the appropriate time to meet. But then we have it.
Sure.
And we can take time to review the numbers.
I think you're saying what I'm hoping, which is I'm probably more than happy to go along with what is being said, just as long as I can see the numbers. Is it possible that instead of making a decision to accept the budget as is, that we delay that decision for a month and make the decision after we had seen where they stood, the information that I've been asking for?
So the budget revisions that I have suggested don't have any fire services line fee change, but I need those to keep going along my job.
Right.
Next month, I think, because the agenda packet I have just about done for February, so for the March meeting, I can have the chief do the schedule, detailed schedule.
I'm okay with that.
And include it in the financial reports so that you'll see that.
Okay.
And so if we see the need for a change, then we would communicate it at that time And then we could do a budget amendment. But
okay,
he
then I think so.
Yeah. Okay, that works.
No, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's all.
Sure.
That's,
yeah, sure. Absolutely. That. Yeah. No problem.
Okay.
Okay. So that's right, what we'll do.
So you'll put that down.
Yeah.
We're going to approve what you put together.
For this time, yeah.
And then we're going to
have the detail come into the March meeting so that if we have a change, we can see it.
I'm okay
yes.
with that.
Okay.
Good.
Perfect. That's
wonderful.
I appreciate
okay.
that.
You got that done.
Yeah. So then for the next one is the rolling stock reserve. We have the table, the capital fund table, as Dimitri had included in the fiscal analysis, because that's an excellent projection all the way out into 2034. So it shows us the purchase of so it shows us not only the capital fund transfers in, but also the capital fund purchases for vehicles, rolling stock, being the battalion chief vehicle in 2028. And then in 2031, the engine, which is 1.9 million, and that's projected forward. We had a current cost on that of, I think, 1.6. So we projected it out. So it's 1.9 in 2031. So it shows the increase of the rolling stock fund going forward. And then it shows that those payments for vehicles coming out, and it still shows by 2034 that we'll have 2,085,000. So it's still very healthily funded. Then going forward into more purchases that'll come along the way in like five more years after that.
Okay, are you ready?
What?
So are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I actually sent you these emails. So.
Yeah, I know.
So here's my concern on this.
Okay.
Mary, we have always had a spreadsheet that looked like this, explaining, you're probably familiar with this one, right? Explaining where we are in terms of the money that we have been setting aside for our replacement fire trucks. And these numbers, as shown here, which were back in, I think, June, are somewhat different than
yes,
these numbers.
They are.
And I don't quite understand why that
I'll
is.
Explain.
Okay, you can explain that.
Uh-huh.
There are some big ones in there that I just don't get at all. So in other words, this thing is quite a bit different from this.
Yeah.
And I would love to see it presented like this. I understand this. I don't understand this at all. When you look under 2024,
uh-huh,
you have a negative $87,000.
So that's payment of debt service.
That's what?
Payment of debt service on the public safety building loan. So this is a capital fund overall. And so 2024, we needed to have solid numbers coming forward into the fiscal analysis. So the debt service is shown here coming out of the capital fund because we have the $449,000 coming in from the capital, from the public safety building loan. So those are the remaining proceeds that came in fiscal year 24.
Yes, you're talking about that
$449,000.
I didn't understand
yeah.
that one.
So that was the last part of the financing dollars that came in during that fiscal year. And part of it was to cover debt service. So that's why you see the debt service right there. That negative 87.
Okay.
So it was.
Now I understand.
Okay.
I didn't understand it at all.
Okay. Okay.
That's why we have these.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly why. Because I would want you to have it explained so the public can.
I would have gotten, if it's been this way all these years, and then suddenly
yeah.
this came in.
The good thing about this is it's all linked to all of these other schedules. So that one is a separate schedule that I would have to be maintaining separately. You'll also note the fault with that schedule is that it doesn't add interest. So that's why this one increases, because he adds interest earnings to the fund because it continues to earn interest as it builds up. So that's the part.
You're explaining, so because that was,
yeah.
I had more questions,
yeah.
but yeah.
I'm
yeah.
actually very happy with the new one. And I'm trying,
yeah.
even though I spent a lot of time in the past looking at those,
yeah.
I'm trying not to do it again.
Yeah.
I'm just going to live with the stuff
yeah.
that Dimitri did, because I can make sense of it.
Yeah. It's really
so
a
I,
lot.
So you're saying you like this one?
Yeah.
I like the new one better, yes. But it's also because I'm not you've got more of a history with the old stuff than
I
do.
So
I'm switching.
Well, now, yeah, but see, nobody, you didn't tell me you were doing this, Mary. Here's the thing.
Yeah,
I was familiar with this. Now, what I'm not disagreeing. It's just that suddenly this stuff appears, and I don't know what the heck is happening.
So
you're telling me that you are taking the money that we are using for set aside for fire replacement trucks, and you are putting it in an account for which we will get some interest.
And it's our overall pooled money. It's not in a separate account.
Right.
It's accounted for.
I understand that you're taking out that portion that is just related to fire replacement engines.
Yes.
And you are bringing that back in as extra money for fire replacement engines.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know you were doing that.
Well,
I agree with what you're doing. It's just coming out of the blue. I didn't know that's what you're doing.
Well, so this was all from the fiscal analysis. So I thought it would be pretty good to be consistent and follow that, since we just had that recently, because we don't want to be flopping back and forth with different accounting numbers.
I'd be much happier if we just used that.
Yeah.
That was a really robust analysis.
Yeah.
I'd be very happy if we did our financial discussion in the context of the fiscal analysis.
So how do you mean that?
Well, just there are numbers in the projections of the fiscal analysis. They worked very hard to get and are very robust, and the Excel sheet that they developed is thorough and usefully sophisticated. And so for me, I love that we have this now. I'm very happy with it.
With this approach?
Yes. And that approach writ large for the whole district financial enterprise, I'm very happy with it. The way the projections work, it's more conservative on certain things than I would be in terms of dealing with projections, but okay, so we all give in a little bit.
It's much easier to update those tables as well.
Yeah, so anyway, that's not my opinion on that. It's neither here nor there in the moment. But but is the table, for what it is, clear to you?
Well,
now that you have
someone
to
ask,
that's why I'm asking.
Ask some more questions.
Yeah. I'm not objecting. I'm just asking.
So, I just want to stay with the top line item. Okay. So what you're telling me is that that top line item now is taking the numbers that used to appear here, and it is adding to those numbers the expected return on the investment of those numbers, of that amount.
Yes.
Now, that's the difference.
Yeah.
Before, we never added that back in.
Yeah, we didn't have our table set up to be able to do that. We just put the set aside in it.
Well, you could have put another column
in
there or something.
Yeah, but it was,
So, what is it that you are assuming will be the returns that you're going to get? Because you take this out we've got to go out to 2031 when we have to buy our next fire truck.
So overall, and I didn't include that in here, but I think the interest percent assumption that he used, it's global for all funds. I believe it's either 3 or 4%.
I thought it was 3.5.
Yeah.
So you're using something like
standard,
that.
Yeah, something low, because we don't know. Okay. They can.
In fact, it's whatever Dimitri used for the overall projection.
Yes.
So then I'm almost finished here. So I think what we're talking about is we're taking this thing that we used to have here, and basically the only change that we are making to it is we are adding in the interest.
Right.
Am I correct?
Yeah. And then the cost.
So by adding in the interest, because see, I had a big problem with this was telling me that by the time we get out to 2031, we will have only had almost $1.7 million of total cash. And it was very likely that a new replacement fire truck is going to cost more than that. But because now we're putting in the There will be, it's basically like, okay.
Well, operating like a fund, like it should be, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm okay with that. I just didn't get it.
Okay,
it's just totally different.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, this is totally
all right.
Okay,
so that's that one.
Okay.
A very bottom line question. The fund transfer for rolling stock that's listed on the table requires no input from the finance committee.
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I take the numbers at face value, we're good.
Yeah.
And so it's like, mm-hmm.
And it does, the board accept it as part of the fiscal analysis. So if we want to make a change, we need to do that. And I wouldn't recommend it because it looks pretty healthy at this point.
In the context of the page in front of me, it's actually quite good. So I'm very happy.
It's reassuring. So the public safety building budget, this is actually the same table, I think, that was in the January 15th board packet. I had it in the financial reports. So nothing's really changed with that.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Do you want to go back?
Yes, I'm taking a step back.
Okay.
Because I'm
rolling stock.
That's okay.
We had this discussion and I never quite understood what we were doing about it. But you will recall that a year ago, Chief Sailors informed us that we had to do some further work on our fire trucks to, I think, increase the nozzles or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back and I looked at your budget items month by month.
Uh-huh.
And under rolling stock, $173,000 had been, I believe, spent on replacing this new equipment that we needed in our fire trucks.
Okay.
Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact number, but yes.
And at that time, what you did was you took that money out of the rolling stock money instead of out of the general fund.
Correct.
And we talked about it a while back, and I thought you were going to go back and reverse it and take it out.
No, we actually went
and
through the
why
board.
Why wouldn't you do that?
So we went and talked about it with the board, and the board actually said that it made sense to take it out of the rolling stock. So that's how we did it, because that's what that rolling stock is to fund, or the vehicle, the rolling stock. So that's what we did, was take it out of that fund. But you'll see that still we are still ending up with the $2,085,000 at the end of 2034.
Okay, then maybe this will make some sense.
Okay.
I just got it here.
Okay.
I got to take me through it.
Okay, sure.
So what you're saying is the way we're now approaching it, which is we are taking our rolling stock money, which is over $1 million,
mm-hmm.
and we're putting it into an account and getting interest on it.
Uh-huh.
And that interest amount is of such an amount that we expect that we will have more than enough, including the fact that we had to take money out.
Absolutely. Yes.
And I'm okay with that too.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
On the public safety building, I was confused by something that probably will be easy to correct.
Okay.
The temporary fire station items that are listed in the table that you have there have a substantial budget for relocation. Do I understand that that's only relocation outbound, and that the fund for relocation inbound and subsequent disposal of the temps were not part of the original budget?
Yeah, so right now, the only thing that's paying for is what's still there. We still have the portable that we're trying to get rid of, and the fencing, and the we don't have to pay anything on the fencing, but we still have that up there as a security measure. So when we get to getting rid of the temporary station, right now I've got $79,000 remaining budget there. So that's what we're working with. I'm hoping that it'll all come in under that. We are trying to get someone to buy it, which would be great. So that's what our overall remaining funding is to deal with it. So I'm hopeful that we can deal with getting rid of that station.
Oh, I see. Over 79 is. That's like in the entirety of
the budget. In the entire project budget. That's my hope. And then if we can get somebody to buy something off of us, then that could help even offset that. So
okay. So in the scheme of things, there was a little bit of a King Chad budgetarily of we got to re-enter in the public safety building, but then what are we going to do?
Right. Yeah, they never had a plan on that from the very start. So that's what we're trying to deal with.
That's what I was trying to get to. That was not part
of it. Yeah, the cost. Yeah, it wasn't thought of. So at least on detail. So we're working on it. We're working to definitely minimize it.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Okay. So does that make sense?
Well, I'm trying to find the page. I can't find it.
Which page?
But here's my question.
I was referring to that table.
I'm sorry?
I was referring to that table.
That table's right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
The 79,000 is the lowest, most right number at the base of that.
That's what's remaining.
All right.
That's what's remaining. And Mary was just saying that whatever we do with the temp station could come out of that.
Right.
And from a budget perspective. Right. So that's
my life. In fact, Mary and I talked about that before you came. So yeah, I'm aware that there still is some additional money that we're gonna have to spend.
Right. And also some budget set aside
in
that pool that could
offset
some of it. None of which
I
was obvious to me walking in the door. Okay. Thank you.
I can't find what I'm looking for, but I can explain it. And it goes back to the table that you were just talking about. You were showing that our expenditures through 12/31 of last year for the public safety building was 9.6 plus million dollars, correct?
Right.
But then somewhere, and again, I can't find this. Somewhere in here, there was. Oh, there it is. There it is. In here. On page 41, there's a $700,000 number.
Right. So that line, the PSB renovation, started prior to 2024. But in 24 and 25, this is what was budgeted for the remaining costs.
Correct.
So I'm not sure if 24, because we're still working on the audit, if that came in exactly at that number, because they're still working on finalizing. But between those two, that was the remaining budget that I have on that page that we looked at. So the overall public safety project covered the amount, the 8. But 700 was my estimate of what we paid this year after all costs were paid last year, but it could be that some of them were paid in this fiscal year. Capital projects span many years, but overall those numbers would be correct. And we might be 79,000 under that based on my remaining budget.
Okay, so I don't need to. I thought that you were suggesting that there might be an additional 700.
No.
This goes back to before we basically brought in almost all of our costs at year end of $9.6 million.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the only remaining costs that we should theoretically be seeing are some cleanup costs, and of course, particularly taking care of the.
And then we have a couple of tweaks that we've had to do at the building, minor. So, and then the warranty things are covered under warranty. So,
it's unlikely that, if I understood what you were asking and what you were saying and the table, then that 700 is calendar year 2024 already done.
Correct.
It has nothing to do with calendar year.
Fiscal
the second half of nine. I would say, in other words, it's not a 2025 calendar year cost.
Right.
It may be a 2024, 25 fiscal
budget.
Year
yes.
cost.
Exactly.
And the question was, where did it actually get spent?
Yeah, so overall project. Nothing new.
All right.
Okay. Let's see. Yes.
Just so I asked, you mentioned that Alan had a public comment.
Yes.
Was it, which agenda item was
so it? So it's this, and let me just explain that quickly. And then I think, unless you have other questions, let me explain that one.
I just wanted to make sure I knew if it was associated with this or.
Yes, it's associated with this, and it's an additional mid-year adjustment that I'm going to suggest. And it's because of the hazardous vegetation removal reimbursement grant that we started this year. So in talking with Johnny, we had only budgeted $10,000 for that because last year we had the removal replanting grants that wasn't very highly used. So Tim and I, when we were putting the budget together, put $10,000 in it. We've had a lot of response, and I think Johnny's mentioned that the response on the hazardous vegetation removal submission so far is close to 60,000. So we didn't budget for that much. We weren't sure of what the anticipated participation would be. So it's very well received. It's something that's important to the community, to everybody, to get rid of hazardous vegetation. It's in line with the Emergency Preparedness Committee's work plan that we'll be talking about at the board meeting. So I would, and we've talked about it at the board when we discussed the budget, that there are at least several members, and I'm not sure if all were in consensus with this, but it seemed that there would be consensus in increasing that budget amount if we had people that really wanted to participate in that program, that removal program.
That's certainly my sense. Yeah. Speaking purely for myself, I would absolutely support doing that if we're on it.
Last time, we had internet issues last time. We'll talk about that later, but we're working with somebody to try to improve that. So I think we had, Johnny mentioned that he was having audio issues. Hopefully it's resolved. So right now we have these fire safe planning grants. That's the line that we're using, but we need to retitle it. So that's the hazardous vegetation removal grants, where we budgeted 10,000 in this fiscal year, but in the far, so this has just recently come up. So I would recommend looking at increasing that perhaps by $90,000 to make it 100,000 with 60,000 already submitted, and they still have more time, more residents have time to submit. And they're having an event, a library event on the 18th. Where they expect to even try to increase participation, I would say we may have at least 60 to 80,000 worth of reimbursement grants that I believe the board would be in favor of potentially awarding.
Of projected acceptance rate is high, I think.
Yes, yes.
How would these reimbursement grants work? Is there a limit to each person?
2,000.
Like
and it was approved by the board in August, the Hazardous Vegetation Reimbursement Grant Program. So it's in accordance with that.
Right.
And then they're going to be coming back when we do reimbursements through board approval.
So we get another look at this. Yeah. The question is just from the finance committee.
To increase the budget.
I missed that was on the table.
Yeah, because because it just came up, so there's nothing written in your packet on it.
Okay.
But
okay,
that's why we had we had the public comments, and then we residents may be a little bit hesitant when they see $10,000 as budgeted, that why do I bother applying if there isn't enough funding? So that's why I would recommend increasing that. And that's what.
So how do we though? I have a neighbor that I don't want to put this on. Let's just say that there are people out there that to remove the vegetation that we're talking about, it would be a real cost problem for them. And so, yeah, supporting them to do that, I'm in favor. But where do you draw that line? How is anybody, even if they could afford to do it, they're entitled to get a $2,000?
So it might help. Johnny has his hand raised, and he's actually on, and he is working with the Emergency Preparedness Committee on that grant program. Mm-hmm. So he could provide some information if it would be helpful.
Yeah, I see Alan's.
And Alan's down here too. So
as well. I'm not quite sure how we do public comment in an orderly fashion, but this is a small enough.
It's okay.
I have no issue hearing from Johnny and from Alan.
Okay. My question
for Alan a while back was, why doesn't the board do more things? So I think we may be.
This would be that.
Right. This may be a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Johnny can, let's see. I'm not in control here, so I'll just say, Johnny, you're right.
Can he talk?
He can. He should now be able to unmute himself.
Oh, there he is.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
We can hear you, Johnny. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so we do have quite a number of applications coming through. We have anticipated close to 60,000 of applications coming to us, and this is before the 18th event. And I know there's still people out there that are kind of looking toward the 15th deadline to get their quotes in. So this is a lot more in demand than I think we originally anticipated. And the Outlook is going to be publishing another kind of follow-up of how things are going for the March Outlook publication. So that may even increase further awareness as well. The type of fuels that we're looking at are generally, I'd say mostly juniper. And then behind that is bamboo. The properties that have multiple, it's like bamboo and juniper on a single property, and there's a couple of those. So all of the applications that have come in so far, I've done site visits, so I've validated what was on the application, and they all have merit. I met with Dave Spath and Paul Moss, who were on the subcommittee that that we formed for this, so that they can help review and verify this information as well. And we're going to hold off on any decisions until after the 15th deadline to review all the applications. And they'll be going with me on some of these site visits as well to help validate the applications. But all of the applications that have come in, like I said, have merit. They're accurate. It's not just one vendor out there that people are using for quotes. There's multiple. The neighbors are sharing information with each other to get the best service. And Alan and Wildcat Firewise is really hitting the ground hard at the top of the ridge and getting a lot of traction in his corner of Kensington, which is at the top of the ridge. So I will be sharing like a heat map of all of these interested sites on the Thursday board or the Wednesday board meeting, so you can kind of see generally where these geographic sites are dispersed throughout, and you'll see them pretty heavily at the top of the ridge. We don't have any prioritization or a qualifier for where they're located in Kensington. We're just purely focused on Kensington parcels only, and that's kind of the only qualifier that we have, other than the type of fuel and the proximity of the fuel to the house. or the roadway. And like I said, most of it is juniper, and the juniper is blocking most of the roadways or the access from the house to the street.
I don't believe in that's helpful, Johnny, by the way, thank you. I don't believe in what the board discussed. There was any special provision one way or another for neighbors acting together to submit proposals that might actually be done in a kind of a group property setting. Are you aware of any such circumstances? And would the EPC be the group that would kind of help coordinate and collate that? I'm aware of some of the projects in the neighbor from neighbors who aren't quite close to me, but where they've done projects as a group of households, say to fund the removal of trees and things like that. Is that, are we assuming that these are all going to be individual proposals? I know Alan's worked on a bigger scale, asking the same question, but
So each
right now,
each
this is
parcel,
per household perspective.
So each parcel is responsible for getting a quote for their parcel and for an application for their parcel only. So that way, when we go to reimburse, it's a very clean reimbursement. We know what's allocated per parcel. We know where the payment is going. We know where the vegetation work is going. But there is coordination between neighbors. So, I know, like on, let me see, just north of the school, so around the corner from the school, there are three properties adjacent to each other. The center of the three properties is coordinating with the two on the on each side of that property to have vegetation removed across all three, and that's generally juniper and then some pampas grass that's on the other side. So that person is in touch with the two neighbors and coordinating, but each one of those properties will have their own application.
I see. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's see if that's Johnny's comment. Alan still got his hand up. Can we take
Sure. Can we do that?
yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh.
You want me to allow him to talk?
Yeah. Thank you.
Alan, I think you can
Yeah, can you
unmute.
hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Okay, wait, oh, I don't know if my camera, oh, well, the camera doesn't matter. I guess it just says. Okay, this, the hazardous foliage elimination grant is the biggest breakthrough, in my opinion, in the 11 years I've been doing this work. 11 years with the Diablo Fire Safe Council east of Kensington Court, and 2 years with Wildcat Firewise. I think in part, it's the easiest to for residents to get involved with this. It's the most lucrative. So for example, the Diablo Fire Safe Council, where I've gotten grants for the last 11 years, but I've been focusing on east of Kensington Court to prevent the fire there. This grant is easier for residents because of the one person can do it on their own, and with the help of Johnny, I've helped a lot of the people as well. The Diablo Fire Safe Council has been great, is still great, but it's more complicated for residents and they get more discouraged in the process. And that's because you have to form a group. Now, it isn't rocket science, but people are intimidated by that. And for that reason, they don't follow through. That's my, and also with Measure X as well, there's plenty of, you can, they have group things, they have dead tree removal, they have chipping day. There's all sorts of ways to get funding for El Cerrito and Kensington residents through that. But this is amazing because up until, I'd say about until the fire, it was just really discouraging because we've got three sources of money and I'd almost have to beg people to consider applying. It just blows my mind because here we are living in, we're so similar to Altadena and all that, and yet people are, we're turning down free money. And partly I think because the Diablo Fire Safety Council is slightly more intimidating, but not that intimidating. And also the fire in LA. This is
It's a turning point, and the simplicity of this Kensington grant is going to be a dramatic improvement for the fire safety. And if we can get more money as time goes on, it'll be amazing, because it's so difficult to get people past denial. And just, I can't remember whether I said this the last time, but what I found is people almost need to be talked to one-to-one, and the people I've gotten signed up, often it's taken me 3, 4, 5, 6 conversations, visits to their houses, taking the pictures for them, getting them in touch with Johnny. So believe it or not, you have to shepherd people and you know, very closely to get them to take advantage of this money. So that's, in my mind, that's climate anxiety, that's denial, that's, you know, people who say, don't make me take out my plants, that sort of thing. But this is amazing. I'm thrilled by this. This is the biggest breakthrough, and it's having the same effect that we hope that the Diablo Fire Safe Council and Measure X has. It's an incentive. It's not going to clear all the juniper. It's not going to cut down the eucalyptus trees. It's an incentive, and the incentive is working. Just one quick example. I don't want to take up too much time. Some people a few doors down and across the street, a woman who has dense foliage around her entire house. And I've been kind of like trying to get her to do something about it. But and with this, with the fire and with the new grant, I finally, after having multiple conversations, she not only decided to participate, but she's going to spend $5,000, $3,000 of her own money. And she partnered with her next door neighbor, who's also been intransigent about cutting his stuff. And I don't know if he'll get the whole 2,000. So they're right against the Wildcat Regional Park. It's just such an extreme fire danger. It's off the chart. So I am thrilled. I am working every single day. I'm talking to people to try to get them in on this. When we get people signed up for this, I'm going to go back to the Diablo Fire Safe Council and the Measure X. And I hope people will attend the February 18th meeting. And thank you to the board for setting this up. And I hope that we can allocate more money, because this is the biggest breakthrough from what I've seen in my 11 years of doing this work.
Thanks, Alan.
Am I to understand that this money is to be used solely for the purpose of removing bamboo and juniper?
It's plants that are identified, so I don't think it's just those two. Johnny could speak to the list.
Yeah, what is?
It's not exclusive to that, but we've highlighted that just because those are the attention getter headline of plant types that are generally people recognize to remove. Like I said, there was one house that it wants their pampas grass removed. The neighbor wants the pampas grass removed, so the neighbor is willing to get it removed from the property to accommodate the other neighbor. So it's not just that. Yeah, there's others as well. So I will say that the way this program is designed is it's a lot more efficient. It's, you know, pretty clear. And I think the process is very clear to residents. They don't have a lot of questions, so they really understand what the program is. And that's been a really huge lift of a burden on the administrative side. I'm not spending a lot of time answering questions about the program. They understand what it is straight away. And it's also designed to relieve the burden from the residents. So what I really hope that we could do is shorten the period of time for the reimbursement. So when it goes from approval from the board to execute the projects, then I would say, all right, to the residents, go ahead and execute your project. And then based on the quote, we know how much they'll be reimbursed. So we can then start, queuing up the reimbursements when we get proof of final completion. So that way we really shrink that time between the work is completed and paid for to when they receive their check, because this is a huge financial burden to the residents. And, we're asking them to put 2,000 or however much money it's going to cost up front. So, and there's a lot of fixed income residents out there, but they're willing to take this opportunity to lower the risk. So I also want to relay that to the board, that they're thankful that they can get this opportunity and that we can, you know, really work with them to reduce that time of reimbursement.
I don't know if I can still be heard. Can I still be heard?
Wait, hold on.
One sec, Alan.
Okay.
Yeah, Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me how a person goes about doing this. They are going to come to you with an estimate of cost provided by some individual who will do this work, and you will determine whether or not that is a legitimate cost under the money that's being set aside for this purpose, and they can go ahead and do it, and you will send them a check.
No. So they are responsible for getting a quote. So from whatever gardener or service provider that they have, they will get a quote for that. They fill out the application online. That information then comes to me. So once I see it coming to me that they filled out the application, they have a quote, I reach out to them and I do a site visit. I introduce myself to them on the site. So I validate all the information is correct. I see their project work and I take pictures of it. So that way, you know, if we ever need the photos, I have photos of the proposed project site. And I'm very clear and I say, okay, thank you for filling this out, but do not complete any project work until the board has reviewed and approved of this project, because we can't execute any of the work until it's approved by the board, so that way it's eligible for reimbursement. So then that information is presented to the subcommittee for review and prioritization. Then it goes from the subcommittee to the board of directors as a request for approval, and then the board of directors will approve or, you know, not approve the work, depending on whatever the decisions are. And then I will communicate that decision to the homeowner. The homeowner then will execute the work, provide proof of completion to me, and then I'll work with the general manager to issue reimbursements.
Are there any, are you anticipating that there are going to be any preferred, I'll call them contractors, people that will undertake this work that we're comfortable are going to give us a good price?
Well, I'm not getting involved in any of the contractors, though. That's purely on the residents, and residents have established relationships with these vendors already. And I think it was determined in the board that we weren't going to look into, you know, the operations of the contractors that the residents were engaging.
Yeah, and we take on a certain liability if we kind of recommend contractors, so we don't want to do that.
Right. I mean, our job in this moment is acting as a catalyst.
Yes, exactly.
To make something we would like people to do.
Right.
But hopefully, to Alan's point, mm-hmm. to lower the barrier for something getting done. And so, Alan, you wanted to make a quick comment, I hope.
Yeah, well, basically, just if you compare this
along.
Sorry. If you compare this to the Diablo Fire Safe Council, who I love, and they've been super helpful for our community, it's so much more complicated and people get intimidated and give up. You have to put in a proposal. You have to do the work or the sweat equity or both, pay for it. And maybe 3 to 6 or 8 months later, if it gets approved, then you have to hire a contractor who's licensed and insured and then supervise the work. And, you know, so it's much more intimidating. It's not rocket science. I've done it for 11 years. It's possible, but it's totally intimidating to most of the people who don't seem to follow through. So I think that's one thing. The other thing is, in terms of the contractors, what we're doing, having discussed this with Johnny and some other people, is I'm asking neighbors to recommend people. And I'll share the names and I'll say, absolutely, we're not recommending these people. These are just people to check out. You have to make your own decision. And then I suggest things like Bay Area Consumer Checkbook, Yelp, look up the same way you do due diligence if you know, we're going to replace your heater or do any other contracting thing. So those are my comments.
Okay.
I'd like to move this along.
Okay.
I think the only question at hand, I won't speak for Jim, but I certainly support this. The only question at hand would be what is the right, given the trajectory that already has a projected cost,
mm-hmm.
kind of pretty specifically targeting, mm-hmm. what would be an appropriate budgetary?
So in talking with Johnny, I think 100,000 sounds like a reasonable amount. That'll give community members, an idea that it's potential that their project would be funded, and it seems reasonable based on what we've gotten so far. And
so
it sounded
like that's 50 homes worth.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty good participation. I mean, if we can get something like that, that's huge.
Yeah, it's not nothing. I don't mean it critically. Just saying that's a lot.
Oh, you think it's too high?
No. I don't mean it critically. I'm very happy with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
So So what that would be then is for this table, because I'll include this budget table we talked about earlier. I'll include the additional 90,000 then for this increased reimbursement grant as to my total that's going to the board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Great. So then we had public comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I was just going to say, Johnny Allen, thank you. Thank you for your efforts. I look forward to supporting you at the full board.
Thank you.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
So then I'll just have committee concurrence that that's how I'm going to move forward with this.
I can.
Okay, great. I will do that. And then the next item was just our fiscal year 23-24 GASB 75 OPEB actuarial report. The actuarial report, we have to do this as part of our participation in the CERT, the California Employers Retirement Benefit Trust, managed through CalPERS. And we had our OPEB actuarial report completed. And what it shows is that the district's OPEB liability is 217% funded. So we won't have to incorporate any additional funding. And then we have the cost of the report we actually included in the budget, which is one of the amendments that I made to increase it to the full report amount. The one thing on this, even being 217% funded, the only thing we can use the funds for are reimbursement of the retiree health costs. So
There was a point where some of us objected to the idea that of quote unquote full funding. Because it had such a high probability of locking in dollars.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily, and that insuring the district is different from, you know, putting something as a restricted set aside that may in fact be wasted.
Right.
We are here. There's nothing we can do about it, to my understanding.
Right. Right. So we just make sure to get reimbursed each year. The one good thing is, way back when a lot of agencies fully funded this, they thought healthcare costs were just going to increase so much higher. CalPERS has done a great job negotiating those health contracts. Our Delta Dental and our vision costs have not increased over all these years, which is crazy. Usually they increase their rates each year, and they haven't been.
They're cutting, I think, the services.
Maybe that's how they're getting it.
That's been my experience.
Yeah.
Healthcare.
So, and then we didn't know that the returns were going to be as good as they are. And the one thing about funding with the CERT is that the return is somewhere between 5% and 8%. And it depends on their investment strategy. They handle it in this trust fund where they can invest in things that we wouldn't necessarily be able to.
Right.
So if we had the funds, we wouldn't be earning as much.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, that's kind of the way it works. But At whatever point we don't have any participants any longer, that's the point in which you can request the funds back. When all of your participants have.
I just want to make sure that the surplus funds will come back when the last person dies, right?
It's not that I object to doing it, by the way.
It's just
a question of what's prudent
what's
funding
the right,
in the moment.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. So, as you say, it's not.
Well, we're getting 8%.
Actually, the return is not bad. So I'll get over myself.
So this is just to report it to you. And then what I do is, if there's no issue, I mean, it's a report that's done by an actuary. So we just accept it. I have it on the board agenda under consent for them to accept it as well.
Right.
And then those were my only items for this meeting.
I don't have, beyond what we discussed earlier about getting, the chief's more detailed line item BDA kind of report, I have no
future
particular agenda items.
Okay, so it'll just be whatever our next typical meeting is, which is May time frame to talk about preliminary budget for fiscal year 25-26.
Okay.
So far, and if something comes up other than that, then we will do it.
Okay, so then we're at adjournment?
Yes, we are.
Okay, we don't need to make a motion to adjourn?
No, we've completed,
I understand it.
Yeah, we completed the agenda, so 3:27, and we are adjourned.
Okay, this adjourns the meeting of the JFPB Finance Committee. The next meeting we will hold at a time to be specified in May. And thank you, everyone, for attending.
Thank you very much. So I think you're going to have to end.